think all of us know very well. I think last week we were just briefly going through the church team, the entire church team, for both not only our congregation, for the entire church, even our children's ministry and various ministries of our church, to be stronger together. I think needs, and that is the verse that comes from Ecclesiastes, right? I think we need to be stronger together. And so the first part, just to give you an intro kind of a thing, the first part is, if you look at the objectives, is actually stronger in Christ together. And I think the not only the pastoral team, but the elders' board have actually decided that, you know, we want to go into that kind of direction. We want to be stronger together as a church in one mission, in one heart, and one vision too. We need to be together in one heart, seeking the Lord together, serving the Lord together, and also bringing the Word of God together as a church. And so the first quarter, it's stronger in Christ together. The Chinese congregation will be looking at it in a different way. I thought personally, I was just praying about it, and Galatians 5 came to me powerfully. And I thought, you know, this first quarter we will focus or give ourselves to hearing the Word of God from fruits of the Spirit, or the fruit of the Spirit, cultivating the fruit of the Spirit in our lives. I think this is important, because when you look at the fruit of the Spirit, it's a life about Christ, right? It reveals the character of Christ. And I think we are called to be Christians, in other words, followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. At the same time, I think the fruit of the Spirit also tells us that we need to be dependent on Christ alone, because it is not my fruit, but the fruit of the Spirit. And so it reveals about our dependence on God. And as a church, we are called to be dependent on God. And, you know, many a times I think that's our struggle, right? That's our struggle. We become dependent on ourselves, our strength, our own things, experiences, or even our traditions. I think Paul reminds the church that we need to be dependent on Christ and dependent on the Holy Spirit living in our lives too. So let's spend some time in prayer and ask God to speak to us as we spend listening to His Word. Father, we thank You once again. We thank You again, O God, because Your presence is with us. We thank You, Lord, that Your Holy Spirit lives in our lives, Lord. And Father, we pray that even today, we want to hear You. We want to hear Your Word. We want to hear You, Lord, speak to us. Help us, O God, in our journey. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Why do we need to look into this particular topic, free indeed, enjoying our freedom together? You know, as I was just meditating on not only in Galatians, but as I look at the scriptures today, I think we are exposed to different kinds of teaching, right? Everywhere you go, you know, not only isms we tend to see, but I think there are different kinds of teachings that's been happening. You know, as I told you, this year is a very interesting year, 2017, it's 500 years since Martin Luther started the Reformation. Very interestingly, you know, scholars are saying, you know, it is Christianity has actually changed a lot from the time Martin Luther started the Reformation. Today, easily we have 4,500 denominations. Can you imagine? Within the last 500 years, there are 4,500 denominations, right? Has some kind of variations in their thinking, in their theology, in their doctrines. You know, sometimes some people have actually, you know, moved away from the scriptures, I tend to see. You know, when I look at all these things, I think Paul is reminding the church that was the problem with the churches in Galatia. You know, Paul, if you read Galatians, you should also read Acts chapter 15, because it also gives you the background of why Paul writes this. What was happening? Just to give you a background, you know, a lot of Gentiles were coming to Christianity, because if you realize, people were just going out and preaching the gospel, and the Gentiles were so excited, right? Not only the Jews, but the Gentiles much more were excited about the love of God, that God loves them. And so they were just responding. They were just coming into the churches and just trying to fill up the place. And that bothered the Jews quite a bit. And so what was happening, you know, they said, you know, to be a Christian or to be a follower of Christ, right, you need to be like us. You need to do the things that we have been doing. In other words, they were saying, you need to be doing whatever Moses have done or said, or even the Mosaic law, or you need to be circumcised, right? And I think this is required for you to become a child of God or to be a Christian. And so what was happening, you know, not only that, they were also bringing the meal plan that was said in the Leviticus. When you read it, you know, these are the things that you are supposed to eat, and these are the things you are supposed to avoid, and so many things, the laws and the bylaws, you need to be doing this, right? At the same time, you need to be circumcised. You need to be like us. Then you can be a child of God. You can be a Christian. And that was happening. And so Paul and goes to the Council of Jerusalem in Acts chapter 15, and he talks to them, and interestingly, the council was so excited that the Gentiles were coming to the gospel. You know, when I look at all these things, I realize, you know, today what is happening, many teachings, you know, we have been exposed to many kinds of teachings in different kinds of churches. I'm not saying, you know, everything is wrong, you know, MCAC is the perfect church, but I think Paul is trying to tell us, you know, it's because what was happening, it's not only Christ alone. We need other things. If not, our relationship with Christ is affected. I think that's the kind of teachings I think we tend to hear quite a bit of things in this world today. And so Paul is just bringing back, you know, about Christ, and about Christ living in our lives. And so he's bringing about not only the law. It is not law. The law is good. The law helps us. But he's talking about the grace. It is Jesus who is actually helping us. It's not circumcision. It's not this kind of tradition, you know. But it's all about Jesus. It's Jesus who is able to help you. He's the only one who's able to save us, and not the law. And I think we need to be very careful. And so Paul is just reminding the church. The church started off very well. The Galatian church started off very well. They were on fire for the Lord Jesus Christ. But as days went by, you know, when they were looking at other teachings and all that was just creeping into the church, they felt, you know, we need to do all these things before, you know, we can say that we are a Christian, we are a true Christian or a true follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so Paul brings three things, which I thought, you know, I'll just use three pictures or through Paul is just reminding the church. And I think we need to be careful. I think today we are living in a very information technology world, right? We have access to so many materials out there. So many, just Google, everything is over there, right? You can read different theologies, you can read different teachings, you can read different dogmas, and then sometimes we do not know what's happening. We tend to question our faith. Even we tend to question our prayers, we question quite a bit of things, my friend. I'm not saying it's not right to read, but I think we need to be careful, because anything that takes us away from depending on Christ needs to be questioned, right? And so Paul reminds the church, and so he tells them, you know, come back, stand fast, stand firm. You know, you started off this way, you know, go back to your first love. Go back to Christ. It's only Christ. It's not about law. It's about Christ. It's about Jesus Christ. And the first word, I think Paul, you know, in Galatians chapter 5, you know, if you look at verse 1, he says, we are set free. He uses the word slave, right? And he uses the word the yoke of slavery. I'm just using words today, and I'll finish with that. You know, he said, we are set free by the Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, he says, the law helps us, right? When you look at, you know, the law is not bad, because if you look at the Mosaic law, it is not bad. It is good. It has its roles to play. So Paul is not saying, you know, throw away the law. It is not saying like that. I think the law is good. But the things that the people were practicing, you know, was not right. If you look at Martin Luther said something very interestingly. You know, Martin Luther said, the law tells us what we ought to do. The gospel tells us what God has done, right? what we ought to do. When I look at the Mosaic law, when you know, God gave Moses the law, why did he give the law? If you look at the law of Moses very carefully, you know, very interesting when I look at, when I study the tablet that was given, because when they read the law, there was guilt in them because they were not looking at God, right? They were just dependent on themselves. That's why God said, you need to love me first. You need to honor your parents, right? You should not be murdering, because when they looked at the law, they felt guilty. They felt shame. They felt desolated because they were not living in line to what the law was initially given. And so the law was given to reveal who they are, to reveal their weakness, to reveal their shame, their sin. And so Luther was very careful. He said, the law tells us, the law is good. It tells us, the law reveals about Jesus Christ, right? The law shows us that we need to be forgiven. And the gospel announces we have been forgiven. The law tells us you cannot be forgiven. You need the Savior. And what was happening, right, in the Old Testament, they were giving the lambs. The blood of the lamb was saving them. And finally, Jesus became the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. And so Moses, you know, brings the law because of what people were doing. In other words, you know, Paul is trying to tell the church, you know, the law is good, but the law is not the gospel. Christ is the good news. Christ is the way to God. Christ is the salvation. And so he's just reminding that it's not about circumcision, whether you're circumcised or not. It's whether you love the Lord Jesus Christ, whether you are in relationship with the Lord. And then, you know, if you realize in these verses, he says, we are in Christ. So he reminds them, you know, you are in Christ. You don't need an add-on. Yes, good deeds are important. I'm not saying no. You don't need an add-on. Christ is the way and the only way, right? And that's why, you know, Christ sets us free in John chapter 8, verse 32 and 36. You know, it's only Christ is able to set us free, my friend. You know, whenever I conduct the baptism class, I always tell them, you know, it's good to be baptized because the Bible commands us to be baptized. But it's not just a ritualistic experience that someone need to go through, right, and to be saved. But I think it's our commitment to Christ, our obedience to Christ, living a life. It is, I always ask them, tell them, you know, it's before baptism, during baptism, and after baptism. What happens? I think that is important, right? And so baptism can become a tradition. Yes, we need to be baptized because we are commanded by Christ. But what does it symbolize, right? I want to live a life for the Lord Jesus Christ. Communion can also become a very ritualistic practice. Some people feel that when I take communion, I'm much more closer to God. You know, my sins are forgiven. It's not only... it's wonderful. It's a mystery involved in it, my friend. But I think living a life, right, of giving ourselves to God, expecting for His coming, that's the way. That's what the Bible teaches us. And so Paul is reminding the church, you know, we are free in Christ. Just remember that we are free in Christ. It's not circumcision. Baptism is not going to help us. Communion is wonderful, right? But because, Lord, I took communion every week doesn't mean that I'm going to heaven. It's my life. It's my relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, whether Christ is living in me, right? And Paul uses a word, another word. He uses the word yoke of slavery. Another word he uses, interesting word, because in those days, they were using yoke to control, right, the animals. In other words, he was saying, you know, you shouldn't be under the yoke of slavery, but you need to be under the yoke of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why if you read, you know, Jesus talks about in Matthew 11, 28, take my yoke. In other words, let me be in charge, kind of a thing. They were always in the yoke of slavery, under the control or the influence, the guidance of slavery. But then Paul reminds, no, it's about Christ in you. Christ living in you, Christ leading you all the way. And Jesus reminds us too. Secondly, if you look at the word, you know, the second word which I tend to see in verse 3 to 5, he uses the word, we are not debtor, but rich. Right? We are not a debtor, but rich. You know, when I was just working on this particular sermon, you know, I was telling myself, how nice would it be if someone gives me a check, a blank check, but with their signature there, right? Not a blank account, but a blank check with a lot of money. Can you imagine? I think that was what Jesus did, right? And so Paul reminds the church, you know, you are rich in Christ. You are in Christ. You are free in Christ. You are rich in Christ too. You are not a debtor. Because why? Because Christ has paid it all, right? He has paid everything. You don't need this. Yes, it's important. It's important for us to remember all these things, right? But you need Christ because he has paid for our sin, every sin that I've done in this world, my friend. It's only the blood of Jesus that pays for my sin. It's not circumcision. So Paul reminds the church. And so today, are we forgiven by the Lord Jesus Christ? Let me tell you, I think we need to be forgiven by Christ. And Christ have paid the debt for us, right? And so we are rich in the Lord Jesus Christ. We are not debtors. We are rich because of what Jesus have done on the cross for us. And so that's why we are saved by grace. And so, you know, let me tell you, when I was working on this particular sermon, I was thinking, you know, there are times, many a time, Satan comes and says, you are still a debtor, right? You cannot be saved. And that's why he's always seen as not only a roaring lion, but he's a liar. He comes and says, you cannot make it. You cannot live this Christian life well. Whatever resolutions you have made for this year, you will fail. I think that's the way. There are moments in our lives, you know, many a times if you realize, I think sometimes, you know, we tend to think of our past sins. Let me tell you, that's the work of the devil, right? But always tell yourself, Paul reminds the church, I'm forgiven. I'm rich in the Lord Jesus Christ because Christ has paid it all. Everything is cleared. What a wonderful news. And so, dear friends, I think, you know, that's what we need to hear today, right? I think people want to be clear, and it's only Christ who's able to do that. And so Paul reminds the church that we don't owe anything because of what Jesus have done on the cross for us. And lastly, you know, Paul says, we are not to lose our focus in the race. I think I missed one more O, right? Don't lose focus in the race. If you read verse 7, he says, to run the race. And I was asking myself, you know, so Paul is saying, you know, what was happening in the Galatian church? And because there were so many things that was coming into the church, so many different kinds of teaching, you need to be circumcised, you need to be doing this, you need to be observing the ceremonial laws, the ceremonial food. So what was happening? People was just confused. So their focus was just making sure that, you know, I'm eating the right kind of a food. But Paul says, no. You're not to lose your focus in the race. Right? You are easily being distracted. When I look at this, very interesting. Paul uses very familiar word in those days, because in those days, what was happening, to run the race, you need to be a citizen to run the race. And so Paul is telling them, you know, you're running the race, and so you're a child of God. Always remember that. You're a child of God. And you need to confess that you're a child of God. You need to build up your relationship with God, because only citizens in the Greek world were allowed to run the race. You cannot represent your country, right? Provided you are a citizen of that particular country. And so Paul is just reminding that, you know, tell yourself that I belong to Christ and I'm running this race. And secondly, he also says we are to run the race looking at Christ. You know, when Paul writes this, and so the way he's saying, you know, look at Christ. Not about the ceremonial law or the kind of dietary kind of food that you are supposed to eat or circumcision. You know, we are to run the race just looking at Christ. And he writes in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 to 2, right? Who's the author and finisher of our faith. So let me tell you, you know, we need to be very careful, because sometimes we will say, Pastor Vincent, you know, I'm running the race looking at Christ. But when I look at some of the things that's happening in the world today, you know, I realize, you know, sometimes many Christians that we tend to lose focus. I see a strong emphasis on social gospel coming into the churches, right? What do I mean when I say social gospel? Social gospel means feeding the poor, meeting the needs of the hungry, right? At the same time, you know, having programs that will help people on their physical side, physical needs, physical struggles, their progress. All these are good. It's wonderful. And if you realize it, you want to be doing a food drive, it's wonderful. I'm not saying no. I love to do that, right? I've gone, and you know, together with my wife, I've gone, you know, to visit the homeless people, even to give food. It's wonderful. I'm not saying no. But if you miss Christ, you have missed everything. If you have missed Christ, if you have not shared the gospel, or if not brought the gospel, because social gospel is not gospel. Gospel is only when you present the Lord Jesus Christ. Social gospel is good, but if it's not without Christ, it's not complete. And so we need to be careful as a church, right? We need to be careful in our lives too. Yes, we do good works, but at the end of the day, are we bringing the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ? Are we sharing God's love? And so Paul is telling the church, you know, don't lose your focus, right? Look at Christ, because you need to be giving Christ. And lastly, when I look at this word, you know, we have to run the race to receive the prize, because in 1 Corinthians 9:24, Paul says, you know, yes, all of us are running, but only not all of us will receive the prize. All of us are running a race, including myself. I'm also running the race, right? But doesn't mean, you know, I will obtain my prize, provided I'm a citizen. I'm looking at Christ, right? And I'm doing things just because of the love of Christ, and I want to present the gospel. I don't want to do things because I'm expected or supposed to do, but I'm bringing the word of the love of Christ to others. And so we need to run to receive the prize, because we can run and finish the race without receiving anything. And that's why Paul was able to say, I'm fighting the good fight. It's a good fight, because he knew it worthwhile fighting for the Lord. A good fight. And runs the race. And so, my friend, I think, yes, all of us are running. Will we be receiving the prize? That's important for us to know. When will we receive, provided we tell ourselves, it's only Christ who is able to free me. It's only Christ. And I need to be not a slave under the yoke of slavery, but under the yoke of the Holy Spirit. I need to be guided by the Holy Spirit. And so Paul reminds the church, and I believe Paul is also reminding churches today, and we need to be, you know, be reminded. And secondly, Christ has paid it all, and I'm rich in Christ. My sins are forgiven, and when I come to him and I say, Lord, I'm just repentant, the Lord forgives me. But let me tell you, Satan brings it back again and again. He will tell you, 5 years ago, this is what you did. 10 years ago, this is what you did. He reminds us. Probably his memory bank is much more stronger than us. He reminds. Even though you erase, it goes into his memory bank. He reminds us. But because of Christ, we are rich, my friend. Because of Christ, you know, we can still run the race. And so, Lord, let's not lose focus. Let's not lose focus. Let us look at Christ. May God continue to help us. And it's my prayer that, you know, after this, you know, on the fourth week, we will start the series on the fruit of the Spirit. And so let's look at Christ. Let's cultivate the Spirit of the Lord, the fruit of the Spirit just working in us. Let us just be like Christ, growing in our love and in our faith for the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray. God, we realize that we live in a world that we are exposed to so many things around our God. There are so many Christianities around in this world. There are so many Christianities with add-ons, oh God. Father, help us to just go back to our fundamentals. Go back to our basics, oh God. It's only Christ. The law is good because it shows Christ. The law tells us that we need to be forgiven, and only Christ can forgive us. And so, Lord, we pray. Lord, help us, oh Lord, to know that each and every moment, help us to know that we are free in Christ. And He has set us free. Our chains are gone because what You did on the cross. We are not debtors, oh God. We are rich. And so, Lord, we pray that many a times when Satan comes and says, "You're no good," help us, Lord, to be reminded that we are forgiven and Christ has paid it all. In full. That we belong to Him. We are forgiven. We are loved. And help us, O Lord, to be focused in our race. Yes, Lord, we can run a race, but we might not be receiving a prize. Help us, O Lord, to run our race looking not on others, but on Christ and Christ alone. We thank You for Your word. In Jesus' name we pray.